Text says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Pray with me if you would. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and God, I ask for your anointing now. Lord, I pray that I would preach as one under authority who has authority because you've granted it. God, I pray that you would use my mouth, my entire body to speak the messages, to say the things that you want to say to your people who are gathered here this morning. And I pray that you would give them ears to hear and eyes to see. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. There's a quote that I first heard this week from the pastor Craig Groeschel. And I think this quote will go a long way to give summary to what I hope to get across to you today. He was preaching at his church on Easter, and he was talking about all that Jesus accomplished in and through the world. And this is what he said. This is the quote. He said, "Because of what he did, this is what we do. Because of what he did, this is what we do." The idea being that the coming of Christ into the world, the love that he put on display for the world, his willingness to bleed and die to rescue the world, these are the sort of behaviors that should elicit a response. We shouldn't be able to look at the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, just kind of casually observe them and dismiss them. No, if we really believe these things to be true, if we really believe that there was a man named Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago, who offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins, who went to the cross on our behalf and then rose 3 days later defeating sin and death, then this is information that should radically change the way we lead our lives. This is information that should radically change the way we see ourselves and other people. This is information that should make us an odd sort of people, peculiar even. And when people, outsiders, look at us and they say, "Well, why are you such a bunch of weirdos? Why do you act the way that you act? Why do you do the things that you do?" We say to them with pride, "Because of what he did, this is what we do. Because he did what he did, this is why we do what we do." Now, for the church, Easter is a big Sunday every year. Not just at our church, but every church. We had celebrated Easter here 2 weeks ago. Pretty sure we had 392 people here that morning. It's pretty awesome. I think in the 6 years I've been here, that's the most people that we've ever had. But we didn't count before Christy came on staff, so I'm really not sure. But that's a lot of people. And all the church growth gurus, you know, talk about how important it is to try and keep visitors. Like, yeah, all these people show up on Sunday, it's all about trying to keep as many of them as you can in your body. And to do that, it's all about getting people to take the next step. That's what they say. They're like, if you can get people to join a small group, if you can get people to serve in your church in some capacity, if you can get them to participate in some sort of mission activity, it's like you can almost ensure that they'll assimilate into your church body. That's why a lot of churches do this. At the big Sundays when they have large crowds, you'll hear them pushing these things really heavy. It's all about trying to get people to take the next step. But I want to be honest with you this morning, church, and tell you that I have higher expectations for you than that. After hearing the message of the gospel, after hearing the good news about what Jesus did for you, his dying on the cross for your sins, for your freedom, and for your rescue, it's not my hope that you would decide, "Oh, I should probably join a small group and try to go and give up maybe an hour every couple of weeks of my life." No, it's not my hope that you would hear the gospel message and that you would go, "You know, maybe I should. I think the church goes and feeds the homeless once every couple of months. I should probably participate in that." No, it's not that those are bad things. I actually think they're very good things. I just think they would be very minimal responses to a very glorious truth. No, it's my unyielding hope for you that your response to the gospel wouldn't be to go, "Oh, maybe I need to take the next step." but that you would surrender all of your steps to Him. I'm talking about everything. He's worth it all. He's worth every step. I'm talking about everything. Your time, your will, your money, your life, your values, your rights, even your very own body. It's the reason I wanted Kenzie to sing the song this morning that she sang. Talk about surveying the wondrous cross. The words from the pastor and hymn writer Isaac Watts. He said in there, he's talking about the love that he saw on display on the cross. And he said this, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that would be an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." He's saying, if I had everything and I tried to hand it back to you, it wouldn't be enough, because what you did for me deserves so much more even than that. The Apostle Paul described it this way in the text that we just read from Romans chapter 12. Now you got to understand, Romans 1 through 11, Paul has been preaching the gospel to the whole world, to the Israelites, to the Gentiles, to every person. He's just preached the whole gospel, and now it's come to this kind of culmination point, like this is decision time, and he's trying to tell them what they should expect, like what their response should be to the gospel he just preached. And he doesn't say, okay, now that you've heard about the beautiful and glorious power and work of Jesus on the cross, then this is what you need to do. Maybe we need to see if we could get you to have perfect temple attendance. Or maybe we should see if we could just get you in church. If we could just get you in church every week, and you need to be there on time. If you don't get there on time, you might miss announcements. You don't want to miss announcements. You might miss bad jokes with Paul. And bad jokes with Paul, sometimes it's the best part of the service. No, that's not what he says. He doesn't say, okay, now that you've heard this glorious gospel, you should probably try to serve, volunteer at the church once every couple of months. No, Paul doesn't say, for Paul, he's not saying, now that you've heard the gospel, you should take the next step on your journey. This is Paul's response. Hopefully you saw it when we read it. Paul goes, in light of the good news that is the gospel, this is what you ought to do. You ought to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul says, this is what you should do. You should go to the altar of the Lord and lay your life down on it and let Him consume you with His holy fire for His glory and your good. Sitting about next steps. The gospel itself isn't about next steps. It's about every step. Let me give you an example of what I think it might look like to surrender your life fully to Christ. What I think it might look like when a person does that. A lady by the name of Dr. Helen Rosevere wrote a book called Living Sacrifice. She was a missionary in Africa in the 1950s and in the 1960s. She was a medical missionary. And she went over there and she kind of hopped from village to village, bringing to the people there the message of the gospel and also medical care. And she was giving both of these things to people who had neither. She served in Africa for about 25 years. And halfway through her stay in the country, a war broke out. And she was captured. And she was enslaved. And she was brutally beaten. And she says in her book, Living Sacrifice, that in these moments she found herself asking God why. She said, God, I surrendered my life to you. Why would you allow the event? Why would you allow this to happen? And she said while she was there in the prison cell that God met her and spoke to her. And this is what he said. This is from her own word. She said, in the darkness and loneliness, God met with me. He was right there. A great, wonderful, almighty God. His love enveloped me. Suddenly the why dropped away from me and an unbelievable peace flowed in, even in the midst of wickedness. And He breathed the word into my troubled mind, the word privilege. These are not your sufferings. They're not beating you. These are my sufferings. All I ask of you is the loan of your body. For 20 years, anything I had needed, I'd ask of God and He had provided. Now this night, the Almighty had stooped to ask of me something that He condescended to appear to need, and He offered me the privilege of responding. He wanted my body in which to live and through which to love these very rebel soldiers in the height of their wickedness. It was inconceivable, yet true. He offered me the inestimable privilege of sharing with Him in some little measure at least in the edge of the fellowship of His sufferings, and it was all a privilege. Church, have you ever considered that God might want to use your body, your time, your resources, your energy, your hands, and your feet to live and love the world around you? It's what Dr. Rosa Vere called in this text. She said, I loaned to Him my body so He could do with it what He saw fit. Have you ever thought that maybe God wants you to give back the body that He created to use you to spread and to share the gospel with the world around you? I think this is what Paul means when he talks about offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. He's going, the only appropriate response to the cross of Christ is to say, we lay down our will, we lay down our plans, we lay down our rights, and God, You do with us whatever it is that You see fit. You do with my body, with my energy, with my gifts, whatever it is that You think You're supposed to do, it's all Yours. Take it, have Your way with it. We hand to Him our time. Because of what He did, this is what we do. We hand to Him our time and we say, God, You use our hours and You use the days that we have left in whatever way You think is best. We hand to Him our possessions, our resources, and we say, God, use them however You want for the advancement of Your kingdom. We hand to Him our rots and our old ways and we say, God, mold us into a usable vessel. Ultimately, we hand to Him our very selves and we tell Him to take control. Like the cheesy Carrie Underwood song, we look at Jesus and say, Jesus, take the wheel. Probably good. Those guys, it's only professionals that can pull that stuff off. Those guys in the back are professionals. We hand to God our lives and we ask Him to take control. And whether He chooses to use us or to hide us is completely up to Him. But it's all a privilege. Because of what He did, this is what we do. We offer to Him our bodies as a living sacrifice. We give to Him everything that we have and everything that we are. And this is our spiritual act of worship. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, Paul says it like this. He's saying the same thing I'm trying to get across to you. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul is saying, I don't even have control of my own body anymore. He's like, what God tells me to do, that's what I do. Where God tells me to go, that's where I go. What God tells me to say, that's what I say. He says, when Jesus was crucified in that tomb, I was put to death with Him, and what rose was Jesus alive in me. He's like, when you see me doing what I do, this isn't about me wanting to do what I do because of what He did. This is what I do. I was crucified with Christ. Everything that is good in me comes from Him. And now my whole life is Him just kind of living through me. I've offered my body to Him on loan. And now He's doing with it as He pleases. And you ought to see and hear some of the cool stuff that He's allowed me to be a part of. You ought to hear and see some of the cool things that He's done in and through me. Now we're going to watch a video here in a moment that our kids have put together in Kids Rock where they're responding. We asked some of our, Taylor Coleman asked some of the kids in the back, said, because of what Jesus did, what do you think we should do? How should we respond? And I'm actually going to let the video and their answers to that question frame the rest of the sermon, which means if you don't like it, that's on a bunch of elementary school kids. I'm just trying to do my part. No, we're going to watch that video in just a second, but before we do that, I want to say this, and I really want you to hear me. I know that there are people in this room who have been very close before. I know that there are people in this room who have been very close before to offering your body as a living sacrifice. There are people in this room who have walked up to the altar of the Lord, like maybe you've felt the stones, but you've never fully laid your life down on the altar. I know there are people in this room who have walked up and you felt the heat of the flame, but you've never laid there and allowed the holy fire of God to consume you. I know that there are people in this room who have walked up to the river and you've stuck your toe in the water, but you've never jumped in, allowing yourself to be completely submerged and allowing that river to take you wherever it is that He wants you to go. To people like that, if that's you here, I ask you this morning, why not? I mean, why not today? Why not let today be the day that you go all in? I mean, why not let today be the day that you lay your life down? Why not let today be the day that you let that spirit that you hear inside of you stir and going, hey, I can give you a better way and a better life. Why not let today be the day that you surrender to that voice? Now maybe you look at me and you go, Brock, well, you know, what if I do that? What if I say yes and then God sends me to Haiti or He sends me to Africa? And you know, some people, I might even lose my life for this. Oh, that you would receive such a privilege. The book of Job, Job chapter 13, verse 15, Job says, though He slay me, I will hope in Him. Though I follow Him and it lead to my very end, I will still hope in Him because I have nothing else worthy of being hoped in. Any amount of suffering that the Lord allows you to experience on His behalf is a privilege. It's a gift. On that happy note, I want us to watch this video now. Will somebody cut the lights in the back? That's amazing. Somebody, that must, hey, people who are watching on TV in the lobby, well done to you. All right. Yeah, let's watch this video together.
I would tell everyone else about Jesus that don't believe in Him and how He died on the cross for us.
I would pray and I would tell people about Jesus and I would read the Bible and go to church.
Since Jesus died on the cross for our sins, I think we should extremely follow Him and be proud that we have someone that would love us that much.
Jesus died on the cross for us, so we should praise Him and pray every night that He will make sure we're safe.
Jesus died on the cross for us to tell about Him and worship Him.
Since Jesus died on the cross for us, I think we should read the Bible and preach it to other people.
We should tell others what He did and praise Him.
Since Jesus died for me and He loves us very much, we should love other people even if we don't like them, because a lot of people didn't believe in Jesus and were mean to Him, but He died for them anyways.
To respond to what Jesus did for us, we should do everything in our ability to follow Him and help people in need. And just do our best not to get angry and just read the Bible.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, one of the things I love about the kids and their responses is just like the simplicity of the whole thing. They're like, oh, well, because He did that, we should do this. I mean, it just makes sense. If He was going to do all that, then we should definitely do this. I love how easy and simple it seems to be in their minds. Well, like I told you, I'm going to allow their words to kind of frame the rest of the sermon. I'm going to use the words of some of the kids. And so let's do that. Because of what He did, this is what we do. Number one, because of what He did, this is what we do. We gather. Or as Scarlett said it on the video, she said it this way. She said, because of what Jesus did, we should go to church. And I think she's right. I mean, maybe now would be a good time to tell all of you that none of the kids were paid for their endorsements or the messages that they offered on the video. I mean, we might have gave them a sucker or something. I'm not sure. But as far as I know, no cash changed hands. I think Jackson Denton may have got $5. I think his was a little bit longer, I think. But other than that, I mean, this was straight from the mouth of babes. Because of what He did, this is what we do, we gather. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, 24 and 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, it's one of the great mysteries of the church, but the Bible tells us that when at least two or three people gather in the name of the Lord shows up in our midst. Which means, my friends, He is here now. Jesus exited the tomb and He's now in this room. That's what sets us apart from like book clubs or going to the Lions Club, is that when we gather together, there's power here because Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, He brings with Him all the power, all the glory, all the peace, all the grace of heaven. And we come into His sanctuary together just with empty cups, holding them out, hoping that we will catch some of what He has to offer. You know, this is why it's not enough just to watch sermons on TV. It's not enough just to listen to podcasts, you know, on your iPod. It's not enough just to listen to worship music in your car. These are all really good things, but they're void of the power that we have and experience when we come together. Something special and indescribable happens when we gather in a room with our Christian brothers and sisters. In many ways, to stop gathering with the metaphysical body of Christ is to quite literally stop gathering with the body of Christ. This is why people who stop going to church ultimately end up, you kind of slowly see them die on the vine. It's not because they stop hearing the incredible messages that I'm preparing, though they do, or that they stop hearing, you know, experiencing the worship that takes place in the room. It's that they have separated themselves from the power that can only be found in Christian fellowship and in Christian formation. Because of what He did, this is what we do. We gather. Or as Scarlett said it, because of what He did, we should go to church. She's like, it's that easy. Because of what He did, we should gather together. That's number one. Number two is this. Because of what He did, this is what we do. We receive. Because of what He did, this is what we do. We receive. My son Deacon said it this way on the video. He said, because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, I think we should extremely follow Him and be proud that we have someone who loves us that much. You know, church, it's one thing to see the love of Christ, to see the love of Christ put on display on the cross, and it's an entirely different thing to let that love in. Like, it's one thing to see it and to go your whole life hearing about it, but it's an entirely different thing to let that love into your heart. I think about the night that Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and the night before He died, and how they all felt so unworthy of it. But you know, that was a necessary step. Like, Jesus was serving them. He was imparting His love to them so that they could then leave and go and serve and love on the world. Like the washing of their feet, Jesus was serving them to prepare them to serve the nations. In the same way, Jesus loves us so that we can love others. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because Christ first loved us. You know, I know that there are a lot of people in this room. Mark talked about this at the deacon ordination a few weeks ago. I have a lot of friends here who would much rather serve than be served. Like, if you're in a room, you'd much rather be the person washing people's feet than being the person getting your feet washed. But listen to me, church. If you're not willing to receive that love, to receive that service, you will have nothing to offer this broken world. You'll be working with an empty cup. I mean, when Jesus looks at you, He loves you. When Jesus looks at the depths of your heart, the darkness in it, He loves you still. I don't know why, but He does. When He looks at you and the sin that is in you and the mess that is your life, He loves you. And if you ever want to accomplish anything good for His kingdom, you're going to have to be willing to let that love in. The psychologists and therapists talk about this as broken receptivity. You know, they say some people just... something happens in people's childhood or something like that that makes it to where they just can't receive love. It's like they try their best to love other people. They try their best to pour, but they will never just, they can't let human love in. And I think when we talk about our relation to Christ, there's a lot of people who have broken receptivity there too. Like, you want to love people the way that Jesus loved people, but you don't want to let the love that Jesus has for you in. And I'm telling you this morning, that's a necessary part of the gospel. You're going to have to humble yourself and receive the love that He offers. Did you deserve it? No, you didn't deserve it. You deserved hell, but He gave it to you anyway. And if you're ever going to be any good, if you're ever going to do anything to advance His kingdom, you're going to have to be willing to receive that love, whatever it takes. Let it break down. Let it break down the walls. Because of what He did, this is what we do. We receive. Or as my son said it, we should be proud that we have somebody who loves us that much. We should be proud that we have someone who loves us so much. This is number three. This is the last one. Because of what He did, this is what we do. Because of what He did, this is what we do. We witness. Several of the kids mentioned this one, but Belle Cummings said it this way toward the end of the video. She said, we should tell others what He did. We should tell others what He did. Last movie I saw and cried in, I'm not ashamed to admit, was the movie Creed. At least it was a manly movie, you know. And it was toward the, there were several times, like the idea of Rocky having cancer, I didn't love that very much. It's a spoiler alert. I think you're supposed to give those before. But I didn't love that part of the story very much. I mean, that already had like the little thing going on where I could feel it coming a little bit. But when it gets to the very end and Adonis is having like the last match of the movie, he's in the match and he's just getting the snot beat out of him. I mean, his eyes are pretty much swollen shut. He can't see out of one eye. Like Rocky's having to tap him on the side to let him know how to respond. And there's a moment, there's a scene where Rocky decides that he's going to throw in the towel for him. How many of you have seen this movie? Oh, it's excellent. I mean, it's a great movie. But Rocky decides he's going to throw in the towel for him. You see, Rocky was around when his dad, Apollo, had been killed in the ring. He didn't want to allow that to happen to his son. And so he's telling him, he's saying, look, this is it. You've proven yourself. You've done enough. I'm just going to throw the towel in and we'll be done with it. And Adonis responds to him. He says, don't, Unc. He says, I have to prove it. And Rocky says to him, prove what? And he said, does anybody know what he said? He said, I have to prove that I'm not a mistake. I have to prove that I'm not a mistake. That's what he said. And for me, I'm sitting in the theater, and it's like Sophie Nell and Deacon. It was just the four of us watching it, and I just started to weep. I mean, it just hit me. And I think the thing that hit me so much about it, the reason that it brought tears to my eyes, is because I think there are a lot of people in our world who see themselves as mistakes. I think a lot of people in the world who see themselves as failures. People who, when they look at their lives, they say that they think, I'm a person that's never going to amount to anything. I'm worthless. I don't have any value. But church, listen to me. We have a message that we've been sent to tell those people. It's our job to go and to tell them that God does love them, that they do matter, that they do have value, that our God loved them enough. He thought they were worth sending His Son for. Kids, I don't get a chance to talk to y'all very often, elementary school age kids, and so I'm going to take a shot to do it right now. I'll be brief. I'm almost done, but I want you to hear what I have to say here. You ready? This is what it is. If you're a kid in the room, I want you to perk your ears up. Listen to me. You are not a mistake. My God doesn't make mistakes. I don't care where you came from, how you came into the world. I don't care if you're from Haiti. I don't care if you're adopted. I don't care if you're in the foster care system or if you were born into one of our families. You are not a mistake. When my God looks at you, He sees you as precious. He sees you as valuable. You have value because my God says you have value. You have worth because my God says you have worth. You were fearfully and wonderfully woven together in the hands of God. He sees you as precious. And what He says about you is the truest thing about you. It's the only thing. Don't listen to any of the other voices. What He says about you is the truest thing about you. Church, we have a message to share. And if we don't share the message, then people aren't going to know this. People aren't going to know they matter because God says they matter. We've got this message to share. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to finish with this. He described his life's mission in this way. He said, this is my life's work, helping people understand and respond to the message. Paul spent his whole life telling people, love wins. Grace wins. Spent his whole life telling people about the redemptive power of the cross and of Christ. This was his message, and it should be our message. We are witnesses so we can witness. We have been given a story to tell, or as Bell Cummings said it, we should tell others about what he did. Because of what he did, this is what we do. We offer our bodies to him as living sacrifices. We gather, we receive, and we witness. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, God, grateful for your word. Help us to be the kind of people who would recognize, like Isaac Watts said, that whatever we offer you in response to the cross is too small. Help us to proudly, gladly surrender our lives to you. God, take us and make something beautiful out of us. I pray for somebody in the room right now, when the Spirit was stirring them, telling them today's the day to lay it down, that they would in this moment, through prayer, in a conversation with you, that they would say to you, God, I lay me down completely. I'm yours. Here's my body on loan. Take it and do with it whatever it is that you want to do. And God, whether you choose to hide them or whether you choose to use them, I am confident with everything in me that it'll be a privilege. Move in this place today by the power of your Spirit. We love you. We gather. We witness and we receive. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.